Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, it's Wednesday. It is the day after. If you're listening to this show, you survived Mardi Gras. And obviously, I'm here live, and I survived. Ian Hogue is in the other studio. He survived. We're going to talk to Ian in a few minutes. He was at the Mardi Gras celebration in the Marigny, and I was not there, but that has become a really big, big celebration. And a lot of people who used to do the quarter now do the Frenchman Marigny area. So we'll get into that a little bit later. Also, I'm saving all of the highlights from the debate of the Democrats last night. There were some good exchanges. The South Carolina primary is coming up. And then following that, it's Super Tuesday. So they said a lot of good things. We're not going to get that on the show today because of the cradle of controversy caused by some things that happened and some decisions that were made from the mayor's office. So we're talking about all of that a day ahead of city officials sitting down and talking about what can be done to make Mardi Gras safer. And the one thing that I really don't hear a lot about is people should just be careful. I mean, you hear a little bit about it, but there's all these tangible things that they want to ban. I wrote a blog. It's on our website at WWL.com. Banning tandem floats. Really? That's the title. I'll post it on my Facebook page a little bit later. But I think this is an example of politicians feeling the need to make a decision just for the sake of making a decision. And we need to be aware of that as voters. And look for politicians that might not be so prone to just make a decision to make a decision. And it's okay for politicians to make an unpopular decision. It's okay for them to say, there's nothing that we can do about this, and focus on human behavior. Anyway, we'll get into more of that coming up. If you're on hold, stay with us. More of your calls are coming up. And then also, the question has come up, and it really exploded on social media. Is there a spell on the city because of the bodies trapped in the Hard Rock Hotel collapse? I don't think there is, but you know, it's fun to talk about it. Also, Harvey Weinstein is going to prison. And from what I know of the stories, from what I know of the case and the evidence, Harvey Weinstein deserves to be in prison. And now he's going to come to realize what it's like to be forced to have sex. From Gulfport, Cosmo, you're on WWL.
Well, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm an insurance agent. I insure a lot of Mardi Gras. I'm not the agent on those particular cases, but there's very few companies that will write insurance for what they call spectator liability. The people on the floats, they're held harmless. They have to hold the group harmless. But one of the things after there's an injury, that there has to be a toxicology report done on the victim. Sure, that was some of the protocols that the mayor was going through. Under no circumstances am I justifying her action. I'm just saying that insurance plays a part in Mardi Gras, a very large part, and they do everything in their can to defend themselves. So I'm quite sure they were trying to get witnesses and they were trying to get people to determine if this person was intoxicated, acting erratically, not following directions. So a lot of investigation goes on after something like that happens. And sometimes the insurance company requires, if there's fatality, for everything to stop and to gather all that data.
Yeah, Cosmo, I don't doubt that that has a lot to do with it. But whether it's the insurance companies or the city or whatever, I think we as citizens have a responsibility to set the record straight and really make a greater demand to enforce a personal accountability. And that goes for people who fake accidents just to get a check.
I agree with you. Assumption of risk plays heavily into Mardi Gras. We defend heavily our Mardi Gras because it's sacrosanct in so many ways.
Yeah. It's a great point. Cosmo, I appreciate that information.
Okay, thank you, sir.
All right. Have a great day. From Gentilly, Bob, you're now on WWL. Good afternoon.
Afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. I survived. I'm alive.
Yeah, me too. I didn't go to it.
Oh, that's the best way to survive.
Talk to the trees. Yeah, look, as the steward of the two, I would say, yeah, we do have a curse in New Orleans, but it's a curse of how we run the place.
Yeah.
Every time I drive home and either going to or from, my car practically rattles itself to pieces. And I always wonder, we always have money for parties, but we never have money to fix the streets, yeah, fix the sewage and water board, to take care of the things like the police and the fire departments. How come we don't ever account for all these dollars? Where do they go?
I don't know, Bob. And think about the millions and millions and millions that are being spent because of the Hard Rock Hotel collapse. I mean, the city finds money for what it wants to find money for.
Yeah, I work across the street from the thing. I look at it every day. You know, see what the tourists have to say every time they look out the window and say, what's that?
Yeah.
You haven't heard? But anyway, yeah, that's the thing. Every time we go to the polls and vote, I'm kind of disgusted. We don't have an equal representation of political parties. It's majority Democrat.
Well, it's time for the voting public of New Orleans to just stop automatically voting for a Democrat, to stop automatically voting for somebody who looks like they're going to represent you. Because I tell you, a lot of people who look like they're going to represent you, they're ripping you off, and they're not representing you, and they're selfish. And so we need to collectively just sit back and do a better job of selecting who's going to be the leader of the city.
And that's the curse. We don't have an intelligent population that's educated enough to do that. We're cursed with ignorance.
Bob, that's a sad thought. There is ignorance. There is ignorance that leads to the wrong people being in office. But I think there are enough smart people. There are enough people who are smart enough. I mean, everybody doesn't have to be a genius, but there are enough people who are smart enough and enough people who are absolutely fed up with what has gone on for years. This is not something new to New Orleans. This is a pattern. This is our system. And it needs to stop. But only we can stop it. If we continue to listen to the BS of what somebody's going to do when they get in office and then they don't do it, that's our fault. And I don't even really hear candidates just be honest about addressing issues. I would love for a candidate on any level, not just a CEO, I would love for a candidate for a political office to say, guess what? If you elect me, I'm going to make the decisions that I think are the right decisions. I'm not going to make decisions just to get you to vote for me again. I'm going to make some tough decisions. And some of you are not going to like the decisions that I make. But I'm going to make those decisions. And if at the end of my term, you think I made good decisions, then you reelect me. If not, then don't vote for me. But this desperation of just pandering, catering to the voters, because you want to get reelected. I want to get reelected. I don't want to lose this power. I don't want to lose this money. It's pathetic. And it happens on every level. I was in the French Quarter yesterday afternoon, and then I was in the French Quarter again last night. We'll talk to some of the things that I didn't see, and we'll get into that when we come back. Also, if you want to join us with a comment, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Ian Hoke will join us, and he'll talk about Mardi Gras in the Marigny. But right now, this song explains it all. And as much fun as I had. And I had a lot of fun. I mean, I was going somewhere every day doing something. Work-related, but it was fun. Love what I do. But to be honest with you, I'm glad it's over. I'm Scoot. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, we're talking about Mardi Gras 2020, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And there was a lot of all of that. There was a lot of good stuff. I want to hear a good story. I want to hear something good that happened that shines a positive light on humanity. I want to hear something good that happened during a parade. Metairie, North Shore, downtown, anywhere. I want to hear a positive story that points out something good about humanity. Our number is 260-1870. Text 870-870. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. What do you think? Is there a spell on New Orleans? In the shadow of the Hard Rock collapse is the crypt of the Voodoo Queen of New Orleans, Marie Laveau. Because the bodies are trapped in that wreckage, is there a curse on the city? I don't think there is, but there's a lot of talk about that on social media. It's fun to talk about it. But there are people who do believe that. Because suddenly, this Mardi Gras was filled with tragedy. It doesn't happen often. You know, there can be a shooting along a parade route, but the parade continues. Unfortunately, somebody gets entangled with a float, and the parade stops. And I can tell you, behind the scenes, there is a lot of angry talk about the mayor and the decision to ban the tandem floats for this Mardi Gras. And I'm not sure she's going to be able to survive this argument. The question is, does she have the personality and the courage to say, this was just a temporary thing, and we don't have to do it all the time? I don't know. Again, I hope wisdom prevails. It is a big topic. We continue to talk about it this afternoon. If you want to join us with a comment, how was your Mardi Gras 2020? And I would love to talk to anybody that has a positive story that sheds a positive light on humanity. Did something good happen at a parade? Because there's a lot of good stuff that does happen at parades. And because of human nature, it's the negative news that always seems to get the most attention. Our number is 260-1870. Text 870-870 from Galliano. James, welcome to WWL.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
I'm good.
Hey, I want to put it out. Let me take off the speaker. Hey, I just want to give a shout-out to our local community down here. I had a friend come in, and I was in the Army with, came in from California. And he never rode in the Mardi Gras. Never been to Mardi Gras. So I put out a word to some of my friends about getting him on a float for parade. And I had a bunch of people that stepped up, got him on the float. A bunch of people stepped up and got us beads. That's one of the positive things that came out of this.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, we served together, and he'd never been in Mardi Gras, so he had a blast.
That's nice. James, I appreciate you sharing that story with us.
All right, thank you.
You know, and you see a lot of that. You know, people catch something that might have been intended for somebody else. In some cases, people are really selfish, and they keep it to themselves. But in a lot of cases, they just hand it to the person that it was intended for. Look, I almost got hit head on with a couple of full bags of beads. There's this new ordinance that you're not supposed to throw the full bag of beads. But again, it doesn't do any good to have an ordinance if you're not going to enforce it. And since that's an ordinance that's not going to be enforced, why pass it? This is all about feel-good legislation, feel-good ordinances, things that make the public feel like the politicians are doing something to make us safer. And that's my problem with the tandem floats. That's my problem with the conversation about barricading the whole parade line, the whole parade route, is that it's feel-good legislation. It's designed to make us feel like the politicians are doing their job when in reality they're not really addressing the real issue. And I don't know what it's going to take for you and me, well, maybe not you or me, but what it's going to take for us as a voting public to get it and to put the right kind of pressure on politicians to do the right thing. From New Orleans, Lola, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot. I just wanted to make a comment about a lady that had called earlier. First of all, anything positive about Mardi Gras is positive, okay?
Yes, it is.
I have lived here my whole life, and believe me, I'm old enough to know at this point that Mardi Gras is a wonderful thing.
Well, Lola, the thing. I mean, it's like people act like it seems like there are some who are acting like, tandem floats are just suddenly becoming a menacing thing, or that being around a parade or being in the street is something that just started. This is not new. And to overreact for a knee-jerk reaction to this, I think, is just an insult to all of us.
Well, I have to agree with you on that. I think that something should be done. Get a group together and speak about it. And that includes not just the politicians of the city, but it also includes, I think, regular people who go to the parades every year.
Yeah.
I think that would be a very good idea. But, Scoot, the main reason I'm calling is that I heard the lady call earlier, and I just wanted to say that I agree with her. I think it's rather strange. It all depends on what you believe. Everybody believes different. You know, I mean, some people may hate Mardi Gras. You know, I happen to love it. But anyway, I lived on the parade route for more than half of my life, and I missed it this past year. But anyway, the tragedies that happened this year that don't usually happen. I mean, like you said, I lived right down the street from a shooting. Hey, everybody got down, and then when it was like it was clear, I got back up and the parade continued to go. No big deal. But I do believe that there may be some, not that I believe in coincidences, but some coincidence over the fact that there are two bodies, sadly enough, for the loved ones of him, of them, that they are just laying there, and everything that happened this year that was bad was in twos.
Well, that's interesting. I get that.
I'm not saying that the city is cursed. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm just saying that I find it rather strange that there are two bodies left on that disaster of a hotel, and they cannot get them down, and they don't know when they're going to be able to get them down. And for the loved ones of those people, I can't imagine what that would be like. But anyway, it just makes sense to me that, and I believe in this sort of thing. I grew up with it. I know about it, and it just seems like that is a possibility.
Well, I think I do, Lola. I appreciate the call. I think everything is a possibility. I took issue with the idea that we know because of what we've read, we know what happens to our souls. We don't know. I mean, that might be a little uncomfortable for you. You can believe what you want to believe, and you can be sure that it's going to be that way. But factually, we don't really know what happens because nobody's gone and come back. And I know some people have like come close to death and felt like they were walking toward the light and they came back. But, you know, we really don't know the ultimate result of dying because we're still alive. Here's a text that says, nothing says Ash Wednesday like seeing a tourist walking to the airport dragging a suitcase. Mardi Gras broke. Yeah, I get that. You know, there's another visual microcosm of Mardi Gras, the balls. And when you see a woman in an evening gown wearing chucks or flip-flops, full formal evening gown and Converse or flip-flops or jogging shoes, dragging a ice chest with them, you know, that really does say it all. Because it's about the formality of the ball, but then it's about, you know, just, hey, you know what? I'm going to be comfortable, and we got to bring our own stuff. To me, sometimes it looks like people are actually, I love those balls, but sometimes it looks like they're going to a formal at a trailer park. From Slidell, Paul, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, you wanted something positive. This year was my I moved out to Swindell about 3 years ago. This year is my first year as a member of the crew with Dionysus.
Mm-hmm.
And we just totaled it out because crew with Dionysus, maybe people don't realize this, we do much, much, much charity work. And the numbers came out, and we had almost 1,500, 1,486 man hours contributing to charities throughout the Slidell area. So you want something positive? I think Dionysus is very positive.
It is very positive, and I appreciate you sharing that with us, Paul. And look, there's a lot of work that parades do, and so, you know, give them credit for that. And by the way, you know, when it comes to taking your shoes off at a certain point because you can't wear the pumps anymore, or when it comes to the chucks and the formal gown and the flip-flops, you know, it's really all fun. And it really is, again, it's so interesting to see people so dressed up, but yet they've got their beer and their liquor and their wine, whatever, in a nice chest. All right, if you're on hold, hang on. We'll talk to Ian Hoke here in just a few minutes. Do we have a song yet to go to? We haven't even decided what we're going to go to this break with, do we? I'm communicating with Ian now. We haven't even figured out what we're going to go to this break with, have we? We don't have a song yet.
We do not.
Okay. Well, let's just I don't know. Let's just pick something.
Okay, I can do that.
Let's do you know what? Do the song that we didn't play in the number one position in the first hour. And
you
then I'll talk a little bit about that.
Easy.
Okay. We figured that out.
We did it.
Sometimes we plan the show like live on the air, like right in front of you.
Check mark for today.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead and hit that. We'll go to break now. So if you're on hold, hang on. We'll come back with more of your comments. We'll talk to Ian about Mardi Gras in the Marigny. And I had a chance to meet Robin Thicke. And Robin Thicke was the head of Bacchus 2020. And, you know, I had a great conversation with him. And the interview was on our Facebook page, maybe our website. And I'll get it on the SOTA Facebook page as well. But I talked to him about Mardi Gras, about New Orleans, about following in his father's footsteps, about the loss of his dad, and his music. And Robin Thicke is responsible, as a singer, songwriter, producer, is responsible for selling 60 million records. And, of course, this was a big hit. There was controversy about this because of the content that I don't think they intended it to be negative. And also there was this controversy over plagiarism, and they were forced to pay the estate of Marvin Gaye because the song was so similar to Got to Give It Up. All right, I'm Scoot, but I know Robin Thicke and his family had a great time. I'm Scoot. We're coming back on WWL. Well, not necessarily in the French Quarter. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, what you see in the French Quarter is not necessarily what it appears to be. And you know what? That's fine. You know, one of the fun things about Mardi Gras, like I grew up here, and my parents took us to Mardi Gras, and we went to the French Quarter every year. And my brother and sisters and I, we saw drag queens, we saw gays, even during the, you know, regular weekend days that we were downtown around the quarter. My dad worked at Jack's Beer. Had parking close to the Jack's Brewery. And so, you know, we spent a lot of time in the quarter. My dad knew people who lived in the quarter. So, you know, we were in the quarter a lot. And, you know, none of that stuff affected us. And so, the notion that, oh, my God, my kids can't see that, that's ridiculous. And I saw some parents that had their kids on Bourbon Street. And, you put things in perspective. Sometimes you use it as a teaching moment. But I went to the French Quarter before the show. I was on from 2 to 6 yesterday during the WWL crew of WWL during the Mardi Gras Mambo. And I went out about 12:30, and the quarter was not as crowded as I expected. Because this year, it just seemed like the crowds were just so massive in Metairie and in New Orleans, and probably on the North Shore and down on the Bayou as well. But it wasn't as crowded as I expected. Well, I got off the air at 6 o'clock, and I went back into the quarter after the show and did another video. It was thick. It was absolutely packed. I mean, you couldn't walk through the crowd without breaking at least three of the commandments. I mean, it was insane. So the French Quarter, really popular. And think about all those people. And there were really no major problems. This was a good Mardi Gras. I'm sorry for the tragedies. I'm sorry for the injuries. But this Mardi Gras 2020 was a good Mardi Gras. From Algiers, Ken, you're on WWL.
Yeah, I had a story from a few years ago. I was a teacher at John McDonough High School, and we were the last band lined up for Endymion in Mid-City. We had been lined up since 5 o'clock, and it was about 9:30, and we still hadn't left. We were in front of this small cottage where a couple on their porch reminded me of Edith and Archie Bunker. And after all that time standing in line, the couple came up to us and said that they felt sorry for the kids. And they only had one restroom, but that the 150 kids in the band mm-hmm. and marching group were welcome to use their bathroom. And they just sat on the porch and invited the kids to go one at a time in their house, use the bathroom. The kids came out, told them thank you. They were helping the kids. And I said, only in New Orleans and only associated with a good time event like Mardi Gras would you have something like that happen.
Ken, that's an awesome story. I appreciate you sharing that with us. Here's a text that said we took the grandkids to Endymion, lots of people, but the adults that were by us let the grandkids get up near the barricades so they could see the parade and catch stuff. Great people there. You see, those are the good stories that don't get attention, but I always like to talk about that as well. Before I get back to your calls, let's go to our studio producer, Ian Hoke, who spent Mardi Gras in the Marigny. And, you know, a lot of people who used to go to the Quarter now go to the Marigny, and it's also where a lot of people from out of town go. The Marigny is, I think the Marigny's more like the Quarter used to be. And I saw fewer costumes again this year, Ian, in the French Quarter, and I think some of those costumes might have been in the Marigny.
Yeah, definitely. It's always been a very busy scene. I'm talking about around like Royal and Franklin Avenue. It's kind of like the epicenter. If people know where Mimi's in the Marigny is, that's kind of the big bar at that intersection that's really the kind of the epicenter of activity on Mardi Gras morning now. And there was huge crowds this year. I think there was just more people out there this time. And I don't know if that's because it was a little bit later in the season and maybe the weather was a little bit warmer or what could have accounted for that. But every year it just gets busier and busier over there. And it gets later and later, too. Walking back, you know, I do walk into the French Quarter eventually to go visit some friends that live in there. And then I go back towards where my house is. And that intersection is still bumping at, you know, 9, 10, 11 p.m. People have their sound carts out there and people are still drinking in the streets and dancing.
And still drinking is the key because they didn't, like, start drinking at 7 o'clock in the evening.
Oh, no. They started at, like, 7 in the morning.
Some of these people have been going all day.
Absolutely. The Skulls and Bones are out there first thing in the morning, like crack of dawn. This skeleton crew walks around the neighborhood playing their drums real loud and wakes everybody up. And some people are annoyed about that, but I think it's cool. So, yeah, really, as soon as it's, you know, 5 or 6 in the morning on Mardi Gras Day, the Marigny starts kind of crackling to life, and it just gets crazier from there.
All right. Well, I'm glad you survived it.
Yeah. It was a beautiful day. Yeah. I had a great time. I would have loved it if the sun had come out, but, you know, it wasn't cold. It didn't rain.
No, it really, in some ways, the weather was kind of perfect.
Yeah, I was fine.
If you were wearing some big, heavy costume, it wasn't too hot.
I was not wearing a big, heavy costume. I was wearing a light, skimpy costume.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry I missed that.
Well, I'll send you the picture.
Well, I can't wait.
That's great.
All right, Ian, thanks for that.
You bet.
Let's see. Here is a text says, I would add to say, this is another humanitarian thing. Tux, having a float that had the first wheelchair accessible float, is a very humanitarian thing, and I would agree with that. Kane, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. I have a solution for the tandem float situation.
Okay.
You know how back in the old days they would put like a cow diverter on the front of a train?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like that little triangle thing on the front?
Yeah, it was designed that, you know, that grill on the front of the old trains that you would see, that was designed to, you know, if a cow was there, the cow wouldn't hit the train. It would be, you know, kind of pushed off the, probably dead, but it would be pushed off the track by that.
Well, I think that might be a pretty good solution for pushing people out from under the wheels.
You know, I don't know, Kane. Maybe so. It's not very humanitarian, but I guess there's that possibility that it would help. And look, there are a lot of things that might make Mardi Gras safer. And I hope our politicians talk about sensible things that make Mardi Gras safer. But let's not be ridiculous and blame something like tandem floats. From Picayune, Alan, welcome to WWL.
What's up, Scoop?
Hey, Alan.
You doing all right?
I'm doing good. How are you? I know you had a busy weekend. Alan does security at the Dome and the Convention Center and Smoothie. I see Alan all the time doing security at concerts and events.
Oh, my God, Scoot. It was a weekend unbelievable. But Endymion, it didn't look like Endymion like we all know and love, Scoot. I mean, they were walking in with their heads down, and we all know why. But, I mean, I want to get to the shoot point. They were walking in with high heels. How they were walking out, we all know how they were walking out.
Yep. There were a lot of dirty feet leaving the convention center.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you, did you get your donuts from the guy from the radio station?
No, we talked to a guy yesterday. Well, I don't know how quickly he was going to send them, but I talked to a guy at a radio station yesterday in Toledo, and he was asking me about king cakes, and he said that the closest thing they have to a king cake, and I forgot what the name of it was, but it was something to do with a jelly donut. So I said, well, if you just put those in a big circle, that's going to be like a king cake.
Yeah, but you thought he was going to only send you one.
Yeah, well, I haven't gotten them yet. I'll certainly let you know if I get them, Alan.
All right, buddy.
All right, good talking to you, Alan. Always nice seeing you as well. Here is a text that says, Tony Orlando went missing during Mardi Gras, and they found him drinking at, I can't say that on the air. Arden, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. How are you doing today?
I'm good.
I just want to say I've now joined your club. I got struck by a pickup truck yesterday crossing the crosswalk on Rampart Street and Barracks yesterday. And, I'm driving myself to the emergency room right now because 24 hours later, I'm hurting a lot more than I was yesterday.
Wow. It's, you know,
yeah,
look.
I kept going too.
There are some motorists that really don't pay attention to pedestrians. And then there are pedestrians that don't pay attention to what they should do either. But, I mean, are you going to be okay,
yeah,
Alan?
I'm going to find out here. Like I said, I'm in the emergency room. It literally is like 24 hours later, and I've got all kinds of spasms and things going on in my neck. And it's really sore where the bumper and the hood hit me on my left side of my body. And, yeah, it threw me about 10 feet. It wasn't bad.
Well, look, I can relate to that. Now,
yes, exactly. That's why I wanted to call. I understand yours was a lot worse than mine, but I'm still hurting pretty darn bad, man.
Well, Arden, let us know how it goes and call us back and tell us how you're doing.
I will let you know. I'm almost to the emergency room right now.
All right. Good luck. I hope you feel better.
All right. Thank you very much, my friend.
Sure. All right. From New Orleans, Daryl, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Scoot. I got a solution for the tandem floats.
Okay.
But somebody may have said it, but I was in and out. I couldn't listen all day. But the city buses have the solution.
Yeah.
That little accordion thing in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the buses not like that.
Well, that would stop people from going in between the tandem floats, but you would think that common sense would be strong enough to prevent that from happening anyway. But I guess not. I don't know. Maybe that is a solution. Maybe there are solutions. I've got to get to break here, Daryl. I appreciate the call. You know, maybe there are some of those solutions, but unless we address the problem with human behavior, we're not really addressing the real problem. And by the way, in the French Quarter, I saw fewer boobs than I've ever seen. And I was kind of disappointed. Oh, no, not really. I mean, I always thought that was kind of silly, you know, flash. But if you know, French Quarter, even a flash, that's fine. But I saw fewer boobs. And I wonder if it's because of social media that people are now afraid that, you know, if I do this, man, I might end up, these boobs might end up going viral. Some of them might go viral, but I can guarantee you I see some that would never go viral, if you know what I mean. All right. I'm Scoot. We're coming to the end of our show. We'll wrap things up when we come back. But again, I hope it was a great Mardi Gras for you. It was a great Mardi Gras for me, and I feel badly for the deaths and the incidents that happened, for the injuries and the unfortunate things that happened. But that happens when people get together in a massive group. But I had a thrilling Mardi Gras. But I'm kind of glad it's over. In fact, here's an update on our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo Poll question. Are you glad or sad Mardi Gras is over? 83% say glad, 17% say sad. We'll be back on WWL. I got home Sunday morning about 3 o'clock, and yes, I was up for 8 o'clock Mass. But I did go home and take a nap. Styx performed at the Endymion Extravaganza. It was Train, Tim McGraw, and Styx. And Styx just blew me away. They were awesome. And I love the conversation that we had with James Young, one of the original members of Styx. And that interview is still on the SOTA Facebook page. Tim McGraw was amazing. I didn't get there until the last song of Train. I had a busy afternoon and couldn't get there until then. And also, I just want to say thanks to everybody who is part of the crew of Orpheus and everybody who's part of Orpheuscapade. It was an honor to be the co-host of the Orpheuscapade, the whole event that goes on there as the floats are coming by. It was an honor to be part of that. Cam Jordan, I met Cam Jordan earlier in the day, and Cam Jordan came on stage, and I mean, the guy practically knocked me down. He came up and gave me a big hug and lifted me up and almost knocked me over, but we started to talk to him then because he was in the parade, and so were some of the other saints, Marcus Davenport, Thomas Morstead. But the Orpheus Escapade is Orpheuscapade. It's such a fun event. And if you've never been, plan to go next year. And I just want to thank everybody with the crew of Orpheus. Just a first class organization. But Bacchus was great. Endymion was great. A lot went on this past weekend and yesterday. Sports Talk is next with Bobby Hebert and Christian Garrick. I want to thank our program director, Diane Newman, our show producer, Todd Manassas, and our studio producer, Ian Hoke. And also, you can join me on Facebook and Instagram. It's SOTA, Scoot on the Air. It's basically an extension of this show. And as always, I want to thank you for being part of the show. And even if you don't call or text, I still consider you to be a very important part of our show every afternoon. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.